ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, titled Description of Varnashram Dharma, Text Number 44. Iti mam yasva dharmena bhaje nityam ananya bhak sarva bhudeshu madbhavo मद्भक्तिं विन्दते दृढाम्। इति मां यः स्वधर्मेण भजे नित्यम् अनन्यभाक् सर्वभूतेषु मद्भावो मद्भक्तिं विन्दते दृढाम्। इति मां यः सर्वधर्मेण भजे नित्यम् अनन्यभाक् सर्वभूतेषु मद्भावो मद्भक्तिं विन्दते दृढाम्। इति मां यः स्वधर्मेण भजे नित्यम् अनन्यभाक् सर्वभूतेषु मद्भावो मद्भक्तिं विन्दते दृढाम्। इति दस् माम् मी यः वन् हू स्वधर्मेण बै हिस् प्रिस्क्रैब्ड् ड्यूटी भजेत् वर्शिप्स् नित्यम् ऑल्वेज अनन्यभाक् विद् नो अदर् ऑब्जेक्ट् ऑफ वर्शिप् सर्वभूतेषु इन् ऑल् लिविंग् एंटिटीज मत् ऑफ मी भावः बीइंग कॉन्शियस मत् भक्तिम् डिवोशनल सर्विस अन्टु मी विन्दते अचीव्स दृढाम् अन्फ्लिंचिंग। वन हू वर्शिप्स मी बाय हिस प्रिस्क्राइब्ड ड्यूटी हैविंग नो अदर ऑब्जेक्ट ऑफ वर्शिप एंड हू रिमेन्स कॉन्शियस ऑफ मी एज प्रेजेंट इन ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज अचीव्स अन्फ्लिंचिंग डिवोशनल सर्विस अन्टू मी। दिस इज अ पर्पोर्ट बाय सर्वेंट्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद। It is clearly explained in this verse that loving devotional service unto Lord Krishna is the ultimate goal of the entire Varnashram system, which the Lord has been elaborately explaining. In any social or occupational division of human society, one must be a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worship Him alone. The bona fide spiritual master is a representative of Lord Krishna. And worship of the Acharya goes directly to the lotus feet of the Lord. Although ordinary householders are sometimes ordered by Vedic injunctions to worship particular demigod or forefathers, one should remember that Lord Krishna is within all living entities. As stated here, Sarva Bhudeshu Madhavaha. The pure devotee of the Lord worship the Lord alone, and those who cannot come to the standard of pure devotional service should at least meditate upon the personality of Godhead within the demigods and all other living entities. Understanding that all religious processes are ultimately meant for the pleasure of the Lord. In the course of missionary work, even pure devotees must deal with the government leaders and other prominent members of society, sometimes praising such person and complaining with their orders. Yet, because the devotees are always meditating on Lord Krishna, situated as a super soul within everyone, they are therefore acting for the Lord's pleasure and not for the pleasure of any ordinary human being. Those persons dealing with different demigods in the course of their Varnashram duties should similarly see the Lord as the basis of everything. They should concentrate on pleasing the Supreme Lord by all activities. This stage of life is called love of God, and it brings one to the point of actual liberation. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in this chapter, Lord Krishna is elaborately describing the duties in Varnashram system, and it is very detailed, showing what a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyas, what they should do, what are their prescribed duties, and what happens if they do not follow their prescribed duties. And towards the end of this chapter, that is towards the end of the description of Varnashram Dharma, especially describing the duties of a grihastha, a brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyasi, Lord Krishna is coming to the conclusion. What is the main point? What is the whole purpose of Varnashram? Here it is translated as here the prescribed duties. What is the actual purpose of these prescribed duties? What is it meant for? What is it all about? Srila Prabhupada uses the term prescribed duties, especially in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says people are working so hard for the self-created prescribed duties. So these prescribed duties in general are created by the people, by themselves. And they strive very hard to achieve and to follow those prescribed duties, self-created prescribed duties. So, actually the prescribed duties have to be arranged, has to be authorized by the authority. And our authority is the Vedic scriptures. So, without authorization of the Vedic scriptures, duties cannot be considered prescribed. So, that is only the product of one's mind. It is just a mental concoction. So, from here, we can see what is the actual duties. Those duties were already prescribed by Lord Krishna, and he is coming to the conclusion. So when we come to the prescribed duties of this world, that is the so-called prescribed duties, which are man-made or made by the minds of different people, we can see people are working very hard. In their 20s, in their 30s, they strive very hard if they are a career person, in their corporate life. A lot of a struggle, a lot of competition. Workforce is not so easy. And in 40s one should actually accomplish something. 40s and early 50s one should accomplish. They should have some assets achieved by their hard work. If not, they are not considered successful. So the end result of the so-called prescribed duties is material assets. And often, India, many people quote this verse, quote, because that is a very difficult one. Karmanyeva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma bhala hedur bhu. So at that point, even before that, first part they mentioned, that is karmanyeva adhikaraste, that is enough. Because everyone should perform their duty. Even the politician the factory owner uses the same words, because everyone should work hard. So everyone under them should work very hard, and you know, they should be productive at their work or for the country. And the last part is neglected. What is that? Okay, one should actually give. One shouldn't be attached to one's result. What does that mean? One shouldn't be attached means one has to give the result to somebody. And who is that somebody? Krishna says, it's me. As in one of the lectures, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning. Okay, Krishna says, okay, if you want to make $1,000,000, that's fine. But you have worked very hard and you have made all these dollars, that's fine. But Krishna says, now it's mine. So that is the philosophy. That is, one cannot actually neglect the actual proprietor. And when we define our prescribed duties, we cannot give up the original personality of Godhead to whom everything belongs to. So in this world, that part is completely neglected. Because whatever I work, it is mine. That is aham mameti. I am mine. And whatever is related, that is also mine. And that is for my satisfaction. Srila Prabhupada actually often calls these kind of people as muthas. Mutha means fools. Because at the end of the day, anyway they are going to lose. Even one works very hard, have enough insurance, have enough plans for the future, still, one is going to lose everything. There is nothing is going to remain with us. So why not use for the proper cause, that is for the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I can remember, I had a professor, he was over 60, so still he was working, striving very hard. He can't walk properly, he walks still, like, you know, not steps like that, you know, one goes one direction like that, you know, just a difficult situation because it's old age, it's not easy. Still he was working so hard, and one of his main objectives was, he wanted in his research career, he wanted 100 journal publications. Because if one gets 100 journal publications, then he can apply for the, you know, ARC fellowship, that is the Australian Research Council fellowship. So he was striving so hard to the extent that some students are also working very hard. So if a student sent a mail at 2 o'clock in the early morning, he will get a reply within half an hour. So he was working like that. We know Srila Prabhupada was only, you know, sleeping few hours. We have heard all these things. We can see the equivalence in the material life, who was striving so hard in the material life. Then he was going on, you know, everyone knows he was working so hard. Then he was about to, at one point, okay, he was still continuing, so I was retiring rather than him at this age. So I went and met him. I asked, okay, so he asked me, didn't you hear that I am also leaving here? Oh, I said, oh, that's interesting. Oh, you are leaving. I said, are you going to retire? You had enough? You know, you are 60 plus and, you know, you have worked so hard for over the many years. So he said, no, not really. Actually, I am learning Chinese now. And he showed his Chinese, you know, he has all the arrangements, Chinese books, everything is ready. He said, I am learning Chinese and I am going to City University of Hong Kong. So I have actually got a big position there and a lot of money. So I'm going there. So this is the way they work so hard. Then he said, so when do you plan to retire? I asked him, when do you plan to retire? So he actually thought a serious question. When are you planning to retire? And he is so attached to his work. So attached. And he thought, because it's a serious question, so he thought and he told me, retirement or death, whichever comes first. So he was, interesting enough, usually materialists, they don't want to think about death. So he was ready to think about death, but he is thinking till the last breath he is going to work. So this is the consciousness of people. And the process of Krishna consciousness as such is simple, as Srila Prabhupada mentions. It is simple. But why not? People don't surrender to this process. So Bhagavad Gita says in the 7th chapter, Namam duskritino mutha prabadyante narathama maya apahrada jnana asurim bhava masrutaha. So there is one class of people, even if we try to inform them about Krishna consciousness, they do not surrender. They are called mutha, the fools. They work very hard. Still, if you talk something about spirituality, what they say? I don't have time. I'm so busy. I have so many things to do. I have so many things to achieve. So in this world, many of the people fall in this category where they do not have time for Krishna consciousness. Even if we tell something about Krishna, about spirituality as such, they are not interested because no time. This is the unfortunate situation of this world. And people strive very hard for the so-called prescribed duties. Then, if we see the Indian context, they think many are pious because they go to the temple once in a week or once in a month. And especially to different demigod temples. I went to a temple, in South India, in my hometown, is Padmanabha temple. So the deity is Padmanabha, is Vishnu lying down on Anantashesh, a massive deity. But around the temple, that is within the temple premises, there are other devatas also, other demigods are also there. So it's not the Supreme Lord is there, but you know, Ganesh is there, I think Hanuman is there, you know, there are few other demigods. So the issue is that many people, they are not focused on the main deity. Many people give, even in the same temple where the worship of the Supreme Lord is conducted, still they want to go to demigods. And it happens sometimes that even in a Vishnu temple, maybe elaborate worship of Vishnu is going on, in that temple becomes famous for worship of Ganesh. Because those who are worshipping Ganesh, they actually congregate and they have special puja, they have special offerings, they give special ornaments for demigods, like that. And they offer their material prayers and they get satisfaction, they get benefit out of it. They get reciprocation from the demigods. And finally they end up worship that particular devata. And that is the sum and substance of their life. That is, worship some demigod, get some material benefit. We don't know how authoritatively they worship. Anyway, they conduct such kind of worship. Anyway, Krishna says, this kind of worship of demigods without recognizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead is avidhipurvakam. Avidhipurvakam means illegitimate. It's not a proper worship. It is illegitimate. There is a proper way of doing things and there is an improper way. So worshipping demigods independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is avidhipurvakam. It is illegitimate. And people consider very pious doing, you know, the demigod worship. Not purely, of course. Not according to full Vedic injunctions. On the other side, there are parties, there are drinks, there is meat eating. All these things are going on side by side. Still, they consider very pious. The good man, little bit of meat eating, a bit of drinks, you know, in parties once in a while, that's all. Still, a very pious person. I go to temple once in a while. This is a piety. Now, if we really consider that faith to worship even the devatas, even the demigods who are servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is coming from Krishna only. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, that is, the faith which is required to worship anyone, because from faith worship comes. We follow in whichever we have faith in. Basically, in which mode of material nature we are affected by, inflicted by, with that we develop a particular kind of faith. And when we have a particular kind of faith, we start worshipping with that faith. So that faith, ultimately to worship even the demigods, is coming from Krishna only. And even the results which are provided by the demigods, that is also coming from Krishna. So how is it possible to neglect the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source, who is the maintainer, and finally he is the dissolution of everything? Bhagavatam also says about proper worship of the demigods. There are some examples of proper worship of demigods. One is Maharaj Bharat. Bharat Maharaj, in his worship, he actually did proper worship of demigods. It is mentioned when he was, because he had the Vedic priests and who were performing sacrifices. And in these sacrifices, many demigods are worshipped. And in these worships, when these worships were going on, and as the owner of the sacrifice, Bharat Maharaj was there, he actually saw these demigods as part and parcel of the universal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He didn't see the demigods separate from the Supreme Lord. So there we can see the proper way of approaching the demigods without neglecting the Supreme Lord. Also we can see in pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, especially while he was traveling to South India, he went to many demigod temples. He glorified them in Bhuvaneshwar, Lingaraj temple. He danced in ecstasy in front of Lord Shiva. It's a very famous temple, a beautiful temple. And from there he proceeded to Puri and from there later to South India. He went to many temples of Lord Shiva. He went to temples of Kartikeya. Still, he was not seeing independently. He was not seeing these demigods independent of Krishna. And so he glorified them as servants of Krishna. So that is a proper way of approaching the devatas, the demigods. However, in ISKCON, we do not actually worship demigods. If you see any of the ISKCON temples, we cannot see any deity of demigods. We cannot see Ganesh. We cannot see Lord Shiva generally. Why? Even though it is mentioned in Necro Devotion, in the 64 items of devotional service, in the 6th chapter, Necro Devotion, Srila Prabhupada mentions that one of the items of devotional service is before starting worship of anyone, one should actually start with worship of Lord Ganesh. So that is an injunction. Still, Srila Prabhupada said, we do not have to do that. The reason is, shastrically, why? Because even what is the potency of Lord Ganesh? He can remove the viknas, he can remove the obstacles in the path of devotional service. And it is mentioned from Brahma Samhita, where Lord Ganesh is getting that potency to remove the obstacles. He is getting that potency from Narasimhadev. So Srila Prabhupada mentions, we had to just simply worship Narasimhadev. So that is the shastric reason. Then, seeing our conditioned nature, what is the reason? If we have a Ganesh deity, what will happen? It will become something like a Hindu temple. Where, you know, there for many people, they will be focused more on Ganesh rather than Krishna. That will naturally happen. They will congregate and there will be big festivals for Ganesh. And for them, Janmashtami becomes secondary. What to speak about Gaur Purnima. So that is the danger in demigod worship. So even when we approach them, we have to be careful. At the same time, we respect these demigods, however, we don't worship them. We respect them. We see them as servants of the Supreme Lord and leave it there. Talking about the prescribed duties, ultimately all prescribed duties should end up in pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if not, it is simply a waste of time. Bhagavatam says, Dharmasya sva anushchita pumsa vikshasena kathasuva no utpadaye yati ratihi shrama evahi kevalam. Shrama evahi kevalam means useless waste of time. So let it be the pious activities of so-called demigod worship, the so-called puja, or let it be hard work, even according to Varnashram Dharma. Ultimately, if it is not leading to Krishna consciousness, if it is not leading to Krishna bhakti, it is shrama evahi kevalam. It is useless waste of time. Because it is not going to get, it is going to give anything permanent. It can give only things which are temporary. As Sri Isha Upanishad gives a very nice example of a dark coconut shell. In that, Srila Prabhupada compares the whole material creation to a coconut shell. And in that shell, one can go either up or down, or stay in the middle. But doesn't matter. Still you are in the dark coconut shell. So, whatever we do, independent of Krishna, still we are within the modes of material nature. We are within the material universe. So what's the point? What's the use? So it is prompted here. Krishna very clearly mentions, it has to come to the platform of devotional service. Then it is useful. So without Krishna, nothing is useful. As Srila Prabhupada gave the famous example, everything is zero, but if you add one to that, one before that, then it becomes of some value. And that one is Krishna. So we have to really think about that. Even though it's a very simple example, it makes a lot of sense in our practical life. Because we do many things independent of Krishna, or we have tendencies to do things independent of Krishna. So that doesn't bear any real fruit which are useful. Now, one important nice point mentioned here is seeing all living entities as part and parcel of Krishna, or seeing Krishna in all living entities. So as we know, it is talking about the super soul feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart. And When we consider our mission is, what is the main mission of the Hare Krishna movement? Huh? What movement are we in? Hare Krishna, yeah? Love of Godhead. Are we love of Godhead movement? What are we known as? Exactly. Yare dekho tare kaho Krishna bode. So we are preaching mission. So when we see Krishna in all living entities, it means we are seeing connection of all living entities with Krishna. So if somebody can see that, then the natural activity of such a person is the process of preaching, which is connecting a living entity to Krishna. So this statement is very significant, that is seeing Krishna in everyone. And our philosophy and our understanding is so strong that not only in living entities, but in unconscious dead matter, one is able to see Krishna. We can see in 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Rasoham apsu kaunteya prabhasmi chashi suryoho. So when Krishna says, Rasoham apsu, Krishna says, I am the essence of even water. Water can quench the thirst. And one can see Krishna even while drinking water. So Srila Prabhupada makes a very, very, very profound statement in the purport, that verse. Prabhupada states that just by drinking water, one can even understand the highest philosophy, that is the Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, which is inconceivable oneness and difference, even just by drinking water. So Prabhupada mentions, if an impersonalist drinks water and thinks just this taste, he comes to the platform of taste and he considers that is the absolute, and so that's the nature of absolute. He says, it is an impersonal way of looking at it. However, for a devotee, when he comes in touch with the taste of water, he actually thinks about Krishna, because he sees that Krishna is a source and Krishna is kind, that he is providing this substance for our benefit. So he sees actually the quality of Krishna. So when he sees the quality, the taste, which is the quality of water, he sees the quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Bhagavatam says, Gunatma Naste. Krishna has Gunatma. Gunatma means one who has possessed so many qualities, that too transcendental qualities. So a devotee can remember the name, form, qualities and activities of Supreme Personality of Godhead just by tasting water. So powerful is our philosophy, our understanding and the process. That is, even from unconscious dead matter, one can remember Krishna, because from the energy, energetic is remembered. That is the process. Well, energy is coming from the energetic, and from we approach energy, a pure devotee can remember the energetic, that is Krishna, very well. It is just like, If I see my friend's, say, his watch, I can remember him. In the same way, from the energy, energetic is being remembered. So that is the process. Now, in this verse, when Krishna says, that is, he says that, one who worships me by his prescribed duty, having no other objects of worship, and who remains conscious of me, as present in all living entities, achieves unflinching devotional service unto me. So when we talk about the prescribed duties, definitely it is referring to duties in Varnashram. Varnashram meaning the four Varnas and four Ashrams. Now to understand how can we apply this, how much relevant it is in the current context, we can actually go back to the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya travelled to South India, he met with Ramananda Roy, the banks of Godavari. And later they had a conversation. And in that conversation, Lord Chaitanya asks Ramananda Roy, what is the sadhya? Sadhya means, what is the ultimate objective of life? You see, it's a very, very important question. What is the objective of doing everything? What is the objective of religiosity? What is the objective? So he asked, if we see this context, the scene itself is against Varnashram. Because Mahaprabhu is sannyasi, he is a brown Brahman, and he is asking this question to Ramananda Roy, who is a born Shudra, and by his occupation, he is a minister, and he is a grihastha. So usually, a grihastha gets guidance from sannyasi, and a Shudra gets guidance from a Brahmana. However, in this context, in this scene, it's exactly the reverse. That is, Mahaprabhu being a sannyasi, he is from a Brahmin background, still he is asking Ramananda Roy, what is sadhya? And please explain with the suitable verses. Patha Shloka. By different lines of different verses, kindly explain what it is. So the initial answer, so this is actually a progression of philosophy from one level to the next. So in the first level, Ramananda Roy answered Mahaprabhu's question in this way. He said, look, the whole purpose, the ultimate objective is, he said, Sva Dharmera Vishnu Bhakti Hoy. Sva Dharmera. Sva Dharmera is referring to just following Varnashram Dharma. And to support his statement, as usually in the spiritual circles, Ramananda Roy quoted the verse saying, Varnashrama Acharavata Purushena Param Puman Vishnu Radhathave Pantha Nanya Tosha Karanam. That is, just by simply performing the prescribed duties, as we can see in here, prescribed duties in Varna and Ashram, being a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, by performing those prescribed duties, one can actually please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the ultimate purpose is to follow Varna and Ashram Dharma. So Mahaprabhu heard this. And when Mahaprabhu heard this, he actually rejected. He didn't approve this statement. He said no. He said no. Mahaprabhu said, Prabhu kahe, eho bahya, aage kaho ar. Means eko bahya. It is external. This is not the sum and substance of the objective of life. This is not the sadhya. If you understand what is sadhya means, it comes from the word sadhana. Sadhana means practice. And what which comes from sadhana is sadhya. So there is a connection between sadhana and sadhya. For instance, our sadhana is, what is our sadhana? Chanting Hare Krishna. And what is our sadhya? Love of Godhead. That is again chanting Hare Krishna. Pretty much there is not much difference between sadhana and sadhya. Both are bhakti. So Mahaprabhu rejected. And there is a reason why Mahaprabhu rejected the performance of Varnashram as the ultimate objective. So here also we can see it is given. It is given, just follow the prescribed duties along with few other things. So the problem is that Mahaprabhu rejected because he came to teach something else, not just to establish Varnashram Dharma. And he knew very well that in the age of Kali, it is not possible to perform Varnashram Dharma in a perfect way. If we see all the details of Varnashram Dharma, it's impractical to follow. So Mahaprabhu said, no. He said, this is external. You speak something more. So explain the ultimate objective further. So Ramananda Roy had to go further. So now Ramananda Roy said, Roy kahe, Krishna karmarpana sarva sathya sar. Krishna karmarpana. Krishna karmarpana means, okay, you perform activities and then offer the results to Krishna. That is Krishna karmarpana. Karmarpana. Karma means the activities and arpan means offering. So you offer results to Krishna. That's it. Interestingly enough, Ramananda Roy of course quoted a verse supporting that. That is from Bhagavad Gita, from the 9th chapter. Yat karoshi, yas ashnasi, yat juhosi dadadiyat, yat tabasyasi kaunteya, tat kurishwa madarpanam. That whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever austerities you perform, whatever you give away, do it as an offering to me. Mahaprabhu heard this, and nice citation. Still Mahaprabhu said, you speak further. This is not it. He said, Mahaprabhu said, Eho bahya age kaho ar. That is, this is also external. So we can say this is a very high standard. If you think it's a very high standard, that is, perform the duties and give the results to Krishna. It's a very high standard. Still Mahaprabhu rejected. The reason is, still Ramananda Roy, what he meant was, be situated in Varnashram Dharma, in the Varnashram system, and do the prescribed duties, and then give the results to Krishna. So, it is not fully spiritual. The reason being situated in Varnashram, it is a material platform. Varnashram is affected by the three modes of material nature. It is created by the three modes of material nature. And just by performing one's duties, one can be still attached to one's duties. So just giving the results of such activities in itself is not pure devotion. It's not complete in itself. So Mahaprabhu rejected and asked Ramananda Roy to speak further. And this time, Ramananda Roy, he said, okay, Ramananda Roy thought, because so far I mentioned Varnashram Dharma and also giving the results of Varnashram Dharma to Krishna. So, there is seriously something wrong with Varnashram Dharma. So, let me try another thing, which is complete rejection of Varnashram Dharma. Now, it is just like, the impersonal concept. If he had trouble with the world, then renounce everything. So, in the similar line, Ramananda Roy mentioned, Roy kahe, Sodharma tyag e sadhyasar. He said, Sodharma tyag. It is good. Okay, I will give up all the duties, all the prescribed duties, exactly opposite to what is mentioned in this verse. That is, I will give up all my prescribed duties, and that is the ultimate sar, that is the ultimate essence of Varnashram, of the whole system, of the whole Vedic process. And to support this, Ramananda Roy quoted two verses. One is from Srimad Bhagavatam, and one is from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavatam verse is actually coming a few chapters before this chapter from the 11th canto. So the translation of this verse is interesting. Ramananda Roy continued, occupational duties are prescribed in the religious scriptures. If one analyzes them, he can fully understand their qualities and faults and then give them up completely to render service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a person is considered a first-class man. So, the point is, give up the prescribed duties completely and then only do devotional service. That is the essence of this. And next verse Ramananda Roy quoted was, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. So, he mentioned, okay, you give up all the prescribed duties and you just do devotional service. Still, Mahaprabhu was not satisfied. Because even in Bhagavad Gita, if you say Sarvadharman Paritijya, that's it. What is the conclusion? We say Sarvadharman Paritijya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. That's it. The conclusion is there. But Mahaprabhu was not satisfied even with that. Mahaprabhu said, no, it's not enough. He said again, Eho Bahya Age Kaho Ar. Eho Bahya, this is also external. And you speak further. Why? There is a reason behind that. The reason is, actually one doesn't have to give up all the prescribed duties. Okay, there is an element to it. That is, one may not do all the duties as given in Varnashram Dharma. One may not follow all the details of Varnashram Dharma, which is not even practical at this stage. However, one cannot give up all the duties or all the activities altogether. Because if something can be dovetailed in service of Krishna, one can be utilized to glorify Krishna, then one cannot give up. So Mahaprabhu said, okay, you speak further. Now Ramananda Roy came to almost there. So Ramananda Roy said, Roy kahe, Jnana Mishra Bhakti Sadhya Sar. So here Ramananda Roy is directly coming to the point of devotional service. He is mentioning it is bhakti. And not only it is bhakti, he is mentioning it is Jnana Mishra Bhakti. So as we can imagine, when there is a term Mishra, definitely it is not pure. Because if there is an adulteration, if there is mix, then it's not pure. And even by the definition of pure devotional service, it is anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavratam. So even by definition, pure devotional service is devoid of, it has to be devoid of fruitive activities and speculative knowledge. Whereas here, Ramananda Rao is telling, okay, jnana mishra bhakti is fine. So definitely Mahaprabhu rejected this concept. And Ramananda Rao tried to support this. And there is a very valid citation for this from Bhagavad Gita. He says, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Chakamshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. It's a valid statement, because when one is above this, that is above the material nature, above the three modes, when he's on Brahma Bhuta platform, at that platform, one can actually obtain devotion service. Mad bhaktim labhade param. One can get devotion service. So there is a valid point to it. Still, that is not the whole idea. That's not the actual objective. So Mahaprabhu had to reject. So Mahaprabhu said, Eho bahya, age kaho ar. This is also bahya, this is external. So please speak further. Explain what is real sadhya. Speak further. Now, Ramananda Rao is coming to the real conclusion. It's also not real conclusion. Actually, he goes further, at least for current discussion, for the discussion for time being, we will consider it as a conclusion. So Ramananda Rao said, Rai kahe, jnana shunya bhakti sadhya sar. So Mahaprabhu is saying, jnana shunya bhakti. So it is very interesting. It's jnana shunya bhakti means there is no speculative imagination, there is no speculative knowledge in this bhakti. And Ramananda Rao quotes the famous verse from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, where Lord Brahma is offering his prayers to Lord Krishna. So he says, Jnane prayasam udapasya namanda eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavatiya vartam sthane sthita shrutigatam tanuvan manobhir ye prayasho jita jidopyasi. So he said, the beginning of the verse is exactly matching what Ramananda Rao spoke, because it is Jnane prayasam udapasya. Udapasya means completely giving up. No need to speculate. No need to imagine anything. And if we have that tendency to imagine things, then what to do? Completely give up. So that is Jnane prayasam udapasya. Namanta eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavatiya vartam. Still, one has to do one thing, and that is using our BMW. What is BMW? Everyone has BMW. Everyone is actually rich to achieve the sadhya, the absolute. Everyone is actually rich. Not only the person who has a millionaire, he can have a BMW. We also have BMW, and that is mind, body and words. That is Tanuvan Manobhir. So Lord Brahma is saying, okay, one can utilize one's Tanuvan Manobhir. Everyone has got a body, everyone has got words, and what else? And one has got a mind as well. So one should utilize all these three to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And not only that, how one should do? One should hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in association of the devotees. So one has to engage our body, mind and words in service of Krishna and hear about Krishna in association of the devotees. So when Mahaprabhu heard this verse, Mahaprabhu said, this is it. This is it. Okay, this is fine. I accept. Still Mahaprabhu said, you go further. So that is there. Mahaprabhu asked him to continue, but we won't continue. So the conclusion here is, utilize one's body, mind and words in service of Krishna, in association with the devotees, and hear the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and glorify the Supreme Lord. And if one do that, there is one advantage. And that advantage is given as one can be in any position. Sthane sthita. Sthane sthita means in whichever occupational duties, definitely not the sinful occupational duties, but sthane sthita means whichever social position you are in, still one can perform devotion service. One can still be in the association of the devotees if one desires. Still one can go back home, back to Godhead. So nobody is stressing to strictly follow prescribed duties according to varna and ashram. Especially it is not possible. And if one does devotion service in that way, it is mentioned ajita jita. What is the conclusion? One can become ajita jita. Who is ajita? Ajita means one who cannot be conquered. And he can be conquered. That is the potency of devotion service. When you perform in association of the devotees with sincerity. So when Mahaprabhu heard that, Mahaprabhu understood that this is really applicable for this age. And this is what we are meant to do. And when we get that opportunity and when we perform this, then actually one can ultimately conquer the inconquerable Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you think about it, it is just amazing. The Lord, out of mercy, He agrees to be the servant of His servant. So that is the potency of bhakti. And this is the conclusion Mahaprabhu had drawn. And Mahaprabhu said, okay, this is fine. Eho, he said, eho hoy, is fine. But still he said, aage kaho aar. So we won't go aage, we won't go further. We will stop here. So the concluding statement I can say is, even though it is mentioned, all the prescribed duties according to varna and ashram, the main thing what we have to do is, perform devotion service in association of the devotees. That can give us success. And that can give us sadhya, the ultimate objective. So I conclude here and see if there is any questions, comments or corrections. Yes, Prabhu.
Some of the very big personalities, they also like worship demigods. So, it's like Krishna said, if you are doing bhakti with me, then you don't have to really worship demigods.
Yeah.
What is the reason? And also, like, if they are really going, then what should be the way to approach them?
Okay. On a practical level, we don't have to worship demigods. We can respect them. We don't have to say bad things about the demigods. You know, since we have faulty mentality, since we are conditioned, we like to, you know, ridicule and, you know, criticize and, you know, find fault and laugh at somebody. And we use the same mentality even towards demigods. So that is an offense. That's an offense. It is part of the offense according to Necro Devotion. So one doesn't have to do that. Rather, one can respect and see the demigods as servant of Krishna. Because which is the actual position. So one should actually appreciate their natural position, being the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the right approach to the devatas, to the demigods. So that is the prescription given by Srila Prabhupada. We don't have to worship, but we can respect. And by chance, we may have to go to some demigod temple. And if we go to India, maybe with the family, we may visit some temple of demigods. Then, if that is the case, we should see them as servants and we can pray, okay, please give me devotion unto Krishna. Don't pray a job promotion or, you know, better salary. Because those tendencies are there. So, don't do that. And if we get that habit of worship, approaching to the demigods in that mood, then one will be actually, perpetually one will be worshipping to get material benefits. The one sees, okay, I'm getting something, okay, again, go again. Whereas Krishna gives what you need. What is good for devotion, He will give. And if it's not good for your devotion, He may not give. As Krishna says, it's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya quotes and He says this verse in which Lord Chaitanya says, if my devotee asks for material things, sometimes which can be like poison, which is poison for their devotion. So why should I give them poison? Rather, I'll give shelter of my lotus feet, so which is nectarian. So the Lord is discriminates. He knows what a devotee needs, so He will give that, rather than, you know, irrespective of our material desires. It's always safe. Always approach Krishna, as second canto of Bhagavatam says: Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udarathi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushambaram. Even if it's material desire, still approach Krishna, because Krishna can purify the material desires and give the devotion. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.